The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition. Damn, I felt like I should stand. Yesterday, I stood and turned into a very good show. Some might say the greatest show ever.
I love the way you think, Crudy. Keep on standing, man. Keep on jawboning.
I'm still standing, Dom. 24 hours after the 34 guilty verdicts came down as we joined you on the 4 o'clock airwaves yesterday. Very exciting stuff. I slept like a baby last night. Maybe I mentioned that. Slept yeah, very good.
You're very energetic today, man. You're not mumbling your words.
There's a pep in my step.
Yeah. Did you lose any weight? You look good, man.
I feel like I should have lost weight. Just in positive energy exerted yesterday.
A little lighter in your step today, man.
Oh, I'm lighter in my step, Dom. Here's what's interesting. The reaction to the Trump verdict. And I don't mean by sane people. I mean by the MAGA. And I told you, I was shocked. And you're like, shocked? I'm like, yeah, I think that's the word. I was shocked at just how far they're going. Because there was an opportunity, Dom, to say, well, this was a strategic decision. You know, what's the actual outcome? Well, Donald Trump's been convicted. Surely he's not going to prison. Probably not going to prison. I mean, if he goes to prison, it's because of his actions earlier today.
Well, lots of things could go into sentencing. He has lots of actions that could be taken into account.
But as a first offender, and these are still paperwork crimes that he was actually convicted of, the crime being the cooking of the books, and it's not a violent offense.
On the criminal side, but he was found civilly liable for rape.
That does not play a part to me.
I'm not clear that it doesn't. I can think anything can play a part in the sentencing. But we'll ask James Santel, our friend, U.S. attorney, at the bottom of the hour. But either way, as a practical matter, that seems like an offense to me.
Well, a prior civil forfeiture, I feel quite confident, is probably not the premise that would kick him from what?
How about defamation?
Probation.
Does that count as something? Defamation? I mean, that, you know, you got to pay a fine for that. Did it twice. Does that count for something? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think it does. I don't think it does. But
I'll defer. Your point being?
My only point being is it's really not that big a deal in the whole scheme of life. I mean, I wouldn't want to be under a couple of months house arrest, but that's the worst case scenario as I see it. If you just keep your mouth shut and say, you know, strategically, I chose not to testify because... You know, these aren't really substantial charges.
George Washington wouldn't testify. You say anything wrong, I could never do it.
What I have not understood is the attack on the system of justice. And I don't mean just from Trump. I mean from the entire Republican world, seemingly. I mean, one guy had courage, Larry Hogan. Larry Hogan, former governor of Maryland. You know, the Trump team basically said, you are done. For coming out and supporting the jury system and saying, you know, these are probably honest people that did their level best.
The quote from Governor Hogan, a GOP or a MAGA, a Trumpster, a Republican, quote, all Americans, calling on all Americans to respect the verdict and the legal process. Apparently that was not good enough for Trump senior advisor Chris LaCivita, you just ended your campaign. So if you don't bow hard enough, if you don't toe the line, if you don't say what Trump wants you to say, you're on the outs.
So I understand, Tom. You were taking notes. You watched the Trump speech. It was rambling. You'd have to take notes to follow.
It was. And I didn't see it live. I went back after I was on hold for another thing. So it took some time. So I found it on the YouTubes. It might have been like CBS's feed. And I got through what I assume was most of it, but I think they cut him off. So although he was still talking, their talking heads took over. They had him on the background. But some of the highlights that I noted, and folks, you can join us as well, 844-967-2789. He started out, if this can happen to me, it can happen to you. If this can happen to me, it can happen to you. Well, it sounds like equal justice under the law, man. So if I committed fraud to cover up an affair for the furtherance of my political ambition in the middle, at the end of a campaign, then I could potentially be charged and convicted with not just the misdemeanors, but with a felony, because the two misdemeanors combined, one misdemeanor to cover up the other misdemeanor becomes a felony.
What, yeah, do you think he was going to go out there and speak with some legal nuance?
But that's how it's supposed to be. He's acknowledging equal justice under law as a bad thing. If this can happen to me, it can happen to you. Yeah, right, dude. But anyway, he talks to the president, calling out, this is all from Biden. Now, mind you, of course, it's not from Biden.
Now, yes. We do have some of the sound. We could play it for the people.
Oh, let's do it.
Rich, get us started. Fire up.
Like millions of Americans who served not on Biden. Juries.
No. What?
This jury shows.
Let's do Trump. I'm talking about the rigged trial. Cut number 7.
It was a rigged trial. Earlier. We wanted a venue change where we could have a fair trial. We didn't get it. We wanted a judge change. We wanted a judge that wasn't conflicted. And obviously he didn't do that.
We wanted Eileen Cannon to preside over this case.
Yeah. According to Trump, of course, no one's ever seen anything like it. I mean, Trump is involved in all sorts of like different issues and activities that no one's ever seen anything like it before. I mean, doesn't that tell you something about the man to begin with? Anyway, let's keep going from Trump rambling today. The failed DA, cut 8, please.
Nobody's ever seen anything like it. We had a DA who is a failed DA. Crime is rampant in New York, violent crime. That's what he's really supposed to be looking at.
He talked about some machete incident in a McDonald's in New York City shortly thereafter, did he not, Tom?
He's articulating all sorts of crimes that the failed DA apparently is not going after, but I imagine he will go after the machete-wielding attacker. Anyway, going on back to Trump, going to appeal it, don't you know? Cut number 9, please, Rich.
We're
going to
be appealing this scam. We're going to be appealing it on many different things. He wouldn't allow us to have witnesses. He wouldn't allow us to talk. He wouldn't allow us to do anything. The judge was a tyrant.
He could have had witnesses, and there were some framework in which the witnesses could testify. You chose not to call some witnesses. That's on you and your attorneys. I'm anxious to see what our guest at 4:30, James Santel, is going to think about the justifications, the reasons, any possible ways that this could actually be overturned and appealed. Again, he'll be here at 4:30. Trump continuing cut number 10. He was at this cut, man. I was watching this, and Trump is Trump, but he got angry. He got angry when he was talking about this gag order and he was threatened with jail. You could just feel the "don't you know who I am" oozing out of him. Let's play the cut 10, please, Rich.
I'm under a gag order, nasty gag order,
nasty,
where I've had to pay thousands of dollars in penalties and fines and was threatened with jail. Think of it, I'm the leading candidate.
Leading candidate. A couple more here from Trump from 2.
Oh, no. Let's keep going with the Trump. You dropped out momentarily. Dom, play it for the people, Rich.
I wanted to testify. The theory is you never testify, because as soon as you testify, anybody, if it were George Washington, don't testify, because they'll get you on something that you said slightly wrong, and then they sue you for perjury.
Much like his example he used yesterday, Mother Teresa. If Mother Teresa slept with a porn star and then paid her off and then cooked the books in the advancement of her political campaign, Mother Teresa wouldn't be able to get off on these crimes.
Yes, exactly. But, Crudy, the most egregious, the most terrible, thing that happened. It's hard for me to even articulate. I'm just going to let the convicted felon Trump tell you. Cut 12, please.
You saw what happened to some of the witnesses that were on our side? They were literally crucified.
Literally?
I don't think they were actually
physically nailed to a cross. That's what happened? They were literally crucified.
I don't think he understands what that word means. I know I make him up, Trump, but literally means it really happened.
Literally.
No, there are some willing to take that bullet for you, sir. I feel quite confident, but literally, I don't think anyone got crucified.
No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Figuratively, I believe, is what you perhaps were looking for, Trump. You are literally an idiot.
Dom, headline at The Guardian. I wanted to throw it out there while there's time. Angry Trump revisits the escalator where it all began, but this time as a felon. Approximately 6 minutes after 11 a.m. on Friday, you know, radio time, Dom, Donald Trump entered the atrium of the Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue in New York City, wearing a scarlet tie. Behind the former U.S. president, now a felon, stood the same escalator he used in 2015 to announce his presidential bid, triggering 8 years of political chaos. In a long-winded address in front of five American flags, golden walls, and no teleprompters. That's shocking. No teleprompter.
He had some notes, though.
I was watching Fox News' coverage, and it was shocking to me, literally, the reaction of the Fox News host. The worst they could say, he was a little undisciplined. He could have been a little more disciplined in this. I mean, this was like a 30-minute run-on sentence. That was my impression of the Trump speechifying at the Trump Tower escalator where it all began. Takes us back. Come on back. Devil's advocates. We're going to listen to Joe Biden. The real president reacted to the felon former president today. And we've got the sound. We'll play it for you. It's a Friday. You can air your grievances here. 844-967-2789. And we have one of the finest, most coveted guests in radio of all time.
I don't know. It's unprecedented. The fact that we've got James Santel on a Friday.
I've never seen anything like it before.
Y'all have to see what we mean. He is a fine guest. I'm sure you'll stick around for it all, because this is the greatest radio show ever. Somehow we're going to top yesterday.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going to get to your calls this segment, 844-967-2789. We have James Santel, former U.S. attorney, going to join us at the bottom of the hour. So be patient. We promise we'll get you in. I just want to throw a couple of these notes out since I took the time so you didn't have to. Listen to a little bit of Trump's speech today. We played a few cuts before we hear the real President Biden comment on this. A few more things that Trump had to say I think are very important for our audience to recognize, because Trump thinks that Biden's going to raise your taxes by four times.
Only if you're a billionaire.
Raise your taxes by four times. Now, is he going to raise it four times, like 400%? Is he going to raise it four different times? I wasn't quite clear. He's going to stop you from having cars. Yeah, he's going to stop you from having cars. We talked about the gag order. He talked about, which kind of got into the crimes that didn't exist, right? Right now, the law expenses, the legal expenses that were, in fact, legal expenses. Talked about falsifying business records. But these are legal expenses. But he kept kind of bouncing back and forth. He also said this trial.
That's very charitable. Bouncing back and forth. That's,
yes.
I would say rambled on maniacally, but please continue.
He said the trial, it, quote, used salacious, unquote. I think he was saying that they were allowing salacious details to be entered into the record, but of course he doesn't mention that his attorney brought that all on himself. But then Trump followed up with that after the use salacious with nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happened. Oh, it was dropped by the SDNY, who's very respectful. Very respectful. What else? Then he talks about Weisselberg. Oh, they were the deranged man. They wrecked the life of a very, very good man.
Over a car payment.
Over a car payment. And he says, cars, I mean, everyone, oh, you all have cars here. I mean, there's somebody, I don't know. I guess you do need to report it. He ultimately, at the end of a three-minute ramble about cars, acknowledged, quote, I guess you do need to report it. Oh, man.
What's your advice? Don't report it?
And then he talks about, now he's talking about witnesses. He's talking about Cohen. Cohen, highly respect, highly professional. Then he went out to say he's a sleazebag. Non-disclosure is totally legal. And he said, finally, and there's more, but I'll wrap it up here so we have time. He's honored to be included in this, you know, situation, this lawsuit, because he's fighting for our Constitution. So he's doing it for you, folks. So
well, he'll be you? Further honored like 54 more times because there are some other outstanding indictments.
Indeed, there are.
While there's time, let's get Joe Biden in here. Joe Biden, I was very interested to see if the current president, Joe Biden, my president, would address the conviction, the felon, his opponent. Absolutely did. Let's play it for the people. I don't know what the count is. Don, why don't you count the numbers?
Start with cut one.
Like millions of Americans who served on juries, this juror is chosen the same way every jury in America is chosen. It was a process that Donald Trump's attorney was part of.
Yeah, amazing how that happens. Let's blast them out. Cut two, please.
The jury heard 5 weeks of evidence. 5 weeks. And after careful deliberation, the jury reached a unanimous verdict. They found Donald Trump guilty on all 34 felony counts.
Let's keep going. Biden, cut three.
The American principle that no one is above the law was reaffirmed.
Yeah, what's Trump going to do now? Cut four.
Now he'll be given the opportunity, as he should, to appeal that decision just like everyone else has that opportunity. That's how the American system of justice works.
Is it? How does it really work, President Biden? Cut five.
Donald Trump was given every opportunity to defend himself. It was a state case, not a federal case. And it was heard by a jury of 12 citizens, 12 Americans, 12 people like you.
And the final cut, Trump being reckless. Cut six.
It's reckless. It's dangerous. It's irresponsible for anyone to say this was rigged just because they don't like the verdict.
That was the best point of all, of course. That's the part that's been shocking, is the claiming, not just by Trump, but by almost the entirety of the Republican Party, the media on the right, Fox News host, they're all challenging the verdict of the jury. And that's not the way it's supposed to be, Dom.
How is this?
They're undermining the justice system.
You could play that same quote and cut out jury and or verdict and put in election, and that's the same folks saying the same thing. This is how they do it. It's not shocking. It's on par.
Well, I thought they were overplaying their hand, and I actually thought that you, for a change, had some salient thoughts on this topic, Dom. I think it is a complete overreaction to blow it up and say it's rigged and the justice system is broken and they've come out and they've attacked our guy. I think it's all too much. And you said it's the long game. Why are they doing it like this, Dom, to your opinion?
Because, in my opinion, when the Georgia case comes down, when the D.C. case, when the documents, the espionage, 31 charges in the Espionage Act come down, and he's found guilty of some very serious, way more serious than these two misdemeanors combined to a felony. These are very serious. These come to the fundamental parts of our country. When he's found guilty of those things, he's going to serve some serious time. They're prepping us for what's coming.
844-967-2789. Let's try to sneak in some callers from the audience. Let's start with Kurt today from Madison. Welcome, Kurt. What do you got for us?
Hey, Kurt.
For the love of God, it's religion isn't the solution. It's the problem. Okay.
You've been holding that thought for some period of time, Kurt. But please continue.
I did that for Dom. So anyway.
Yeah, thank you.
when he constantly states, we've never seen this in the history of course we've never seen this in the history of, we have never seen an entire government buckle to their knees and kiss his feet. We've never seen half of the country vote for a complete lunatic and still cheer for him. Of course we haven't seen this before. This is insane. The guy is a psychopath, and he's I painfully watched his entire dribble bouncing around, incoherent babble, when he stepped out in front of the ones I'm sure that are on payroll in that on the floor of where
I like the ones over there, the cheering ones.
Yeah, I mean, this is insane, and I want this guy behind bars so bad. I'm ordering a sign from VoteBets that says, you know, Trump or I forgot what the name of the prison is, but it's $25. It goes for a vet, and I'm going to put it out there.
Do a Kurt, perhaps Guantanamo, waterboarding, or worse.
I think you owe me a bottle of tequila. Well, thanks for playing. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Our pal, former U.S. Attorney James Santel, going to join us next. Stick around.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. It's getting better right now. We are joined live via stream by a fine guest. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, host of Amicus, a law review. I believe that's right. Is it? Am I close, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
You're not only not, you're spot on as always. As always.
Exactly. Well, not right. Always. I 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday morning, tune in for Jim. But, Jim, I was a little pessimistic about the Trump outcome, the verdicts in the Trump hush money trials, it's called, voter deception trial, as I think the jury ultimately decided. But, Jim, I didn't see a verdict coming down yesterday, and I certainly didn't see the 34 unanimous decisions, guilty, 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 my friend.
I was telling people that I thought we'd have a verdict by just about now, and that's the reason I was delighted to accept your invitation to be here, because I thought we'd be getting a verdict right now. I thought it would take a couple of days, but I think it is a reflection of a number of different things. One is, as we have talked before, this was a powerful prosecution. Every so often you see a case, we've seen them often in the United States history, where you think, okay, credibility issues, all kinds of things. This is a powerhouse case. And it was well-structured, well-designed. One of the things I would offer is these were experts doing this. These folks, these prosecutors knew what they were doing. They put this together in a reasonable way. They prepped these witnesses. They worked with Michael Cohen and making certain his demeanor was good. Stormy Daniels, this was expertly well done. The closing argument was spectacular, taking on the issues from the other side. And so I thought, gosh, there's simply no way that certainly 12 people could not acquit this man. And I thought it was compelling enough that they would be conscientious and go through this, but do this fairly quickly. The other thing that I noted, again, about the jury, equally competent, equally expert doing what they're doing. What were they doing? They were taking notes, right? And even when they came out after some of those questions, they were leaning over the bar, if you will, and listening to what the judge was saying about circumstantial evidence. This was a competent jury and an awful lot of signals there that they were getting this right. They were doing their job well. The larger story I'm telling here is when you rely upon expertise and you don't condemn people who know what they're talking about and knew what they're doing, which again is a lot of our politics. It's right now in the Supreme Court as well. Good things can happen. Justice gets done. If you distrust the scientists, you distrust the people who know what they're doing, the experts in the world, then you get bad results. This is just the opposite. A jury doing a lot of critical thinking, taking its assignment seriously, and a prosecution, and I'd also say a judge, who knew what they were doing and did it well.
Jim, perhaps more shocking to me than the verdict and the rapidness with which it came has been the response, not just from Donald Trump, and that's not shocking, but the response of the entire MAGA world, the entire Republican world, They're going all in, triple down on this, Jim. It's a rigged trial. It's a scam outcome. It's the justice system perverted. I mean, some of the things I've heard said, it would be different if they grabbed this guy up and threw him in a cell without due process, and he was still rotten in a cell somewhere. That would be perhaps matching of the claims I've heard. But this is kind of scary, Jim, and I'm hearing it from right-wing media. I'm hearing it on the talk shows. And it's not just the host, the Trump supportive, they're like, go get your gun. Who do I shoot? That seemingly is the temperament of a certain portion of the electorate right now, Jim.
It is shocking. The adjectives fail me as well. And it is also the person who's third in line for the presidency of the United States of America saying the same kind of thing. And what is the danger of that? Yes, number one, I recognize that there's a political component to that, and you've got to play some game there where you're feeding into that so-called base out there. But there's a larger consequence to this, and that is what you're saying now is that the very institutions of our government are not to be trusted, that juries don't work properly, the judges are corrupt, the prosecutors on the take. Again, Donald Trump has been saying that consistently, and yet now it has plainly spread across the board, as you said, to so-called journalists. They're really not. Members of our government spent some time recently talking about Sam Alito and his cynicism, his contempt for the basic ways in which we do our work, commenting about the inadequacy of grand juries and all sorts of other things out there. This is the same kind of thing. You are sending a message from the highest levels of government and other places of authority that you should not trust anything you see, and especially do not trust government. Justice is not being done in America. And again, that's my other concern, is when you begin to go down that road, the violence is perhaps not too far behind it.
Yeah, it's hard to call them the law and order party these days.
Absolutely.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus Law Review on Saturdays on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Central. Check him out. A little preview today, Jim. Thank you for answering the call. I thought about you right away when this thing came down, man. Joe Biden said today, we played some of the quotes, it's irresponsible for anyone to say this was rigged just because they don't like the verdict. I am less shocked, because I could say the same thing. It's irresponsible for anyone to say this thing was rigged just because they don't like the results of the election. You know what I'm saying? This is the same mentality, the same thought, the same feeding, the same words with just, you know, different topics. It's the same. So I am not at all surprised. I fully expect this. But I want to get your sense, Jim, on some of the specific arguments that the right are making. Yes. One of them, the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission witness, was kind of boxed in. He could testify, but he was limited in what he could offer. Trump seemed to take some issue with that. What was your sense on that portion of the trial? And he ultimately did not come in.
Right. It did not. Right. And so what you have here is plainly, once again, the larger issue there, it goes to the conveyance, the delivery of justice. Right. Because you've got a judge there is making determinations about what does in fact come in and what doesn't. Recognize, too, that the other side forgets this. There are many things that Alvin Bragg and his team wanted to introduce, and the judge says, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Motions in limine is what those are called. Here you've got this package, this unit of testimony, and the determination is made that we're going to not only limit that, that's not appropriate, that's not relevant, it is too incendiary. And, you know, the complaint about that, too, falls to my mind on deaf ears, just because it was handled properly in the way that we all expect. Judges can sometimes decide things differently, but until we replace human beings who are schooled, once again, who are experts in these areas, with machines or with AI or something else that would not do justice, you're going to get maybe some imperfections around the edges, but you're not going to get huge problems. This is one of those issues where there was not a huge problem.
So if that's not it, what would you see as the weaknesses or the basis for appeal? What could the Trump team bring forth that you would think might have any sort of bearing on whether or not this thing could actually be appealed?
Sure. You know, there's some legal issues here. I don't think, because they're somewhat untested, we all talked about this before, this elevating, if you will, these misdemeanors into felonies, and this jury instruction, which I think was accurate, that basically said that the government doesn't have to prove the other offenses, that is the election offenses or the tax offenses, but just has to establish there's a tie. You could attack the jury instructions here. You could always find some things inside specific decisions made by the judge. You remember this attorney who was the last witness, disastrous for the defense. The judge was sustaining a lot of objections there. All of those proper, you know, you can raise the issue that he was not properly given the opportunity to provide all of his testimony. None of those is going anywhere. So you can attack some evidentiary things, some legal things the judge did. This issue, once again, about the statutory authority is there. You can find things in any trial. None of them, to my mind, is compelling here again because this was so well done. And the judge also made a terrific record on all of those things, all the reasons why he did what he was doing, justified. And there's this thing again called deference to the lower court, and that's what's going on here, hopefully at the appellate level when it gets there.
Jim, regarding sentencing, apparently supposed to happen July 11th, just a few days before the RNC here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Trudy and I were having this conversation earlier. What kinds of variables and factors can the judge take in when considering a punishment? Could he go back and look at E. Jean Carroll? Could he look at, you know, other things that Trump has been convicted of, even if not, you know, criminal issues and behaviors and whatnot? Would a judge take in those other factors or just look at the very specific case before him?
The answer is yes. The judge can go back and do those kinds of things. What's happening right now, people often ask, well, gee, why is this July 11th? Why isn't it tomorrow? What's happening is that the probation office there in New York, we've got in the federal system, state system, putting together all of that kind of information, Dom. And so the judge has before him at the time of sentencing, yes, information relevant to this particular case. He knows it. He sat through it. But also they will talk about his education, his background. They'll talk about the bankruptcies. And yes, more recently, they'll talk about the criminal conviction of the Trump Corporation, the E. Jean Carroll matter, all of those things. Will also, the judge can also take into account all of the issues that were raised with what I hate to call the gag order, nobody being gagged here. Those things can also be considered by the judge, because what you're doing here is you're no longer finding guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. You're trying to craft a sentence, a result here, a judgment that is commensurate with not only what this person did, but who they are today, what they have done. And in many ways, sometimes defendants get the benefit of that just because it becomes clear they're the product perhaps of some poverty, some lack of education, other things about their lives.
Yeah, poor Don.
Right. It can also go in the opposite direction. So judges have great latitude. They traditionally do not say, I'm going to find that this matter that happened 10 years ago is compelling me to put you in jail for 5 more years and otherwise would. They don't do that. But the law in New York, the law across the country, federal system, state system here in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, is that judges have pretty great breadth of capacity to take in things that would not be admissible during the trial, but they're relevant to sentencing. Why? So they can get it right. They can sentence this defendant for these particular crimes based upon everything that's possibly known about this person. The defendant also has, this is going to be fascinating on the 11th, the defendant has a right to elocution. He can stand up there and talk again to the judge. Maybe it'd be fascinating to see what Donald Trump does, right? But he's got that opportunity. Most defendants take that opportunity. We'll see what happens there. Again, it's a fair system, but it's, again, premised at sentencing upon getting it right so the judge is imposing a sentence that is really commensurate with who this person is who's now standing in front of him.
James Santel, our fine guest. Jim, when you discuss these things will be discussed, literally the defendant, now the convicted felon, Donald Trump, will be the person discussing these things with a probation officer, right? And I hear if they think the courthouse is bad, they should see the squalid conditions down at the probation department.
I've been in some of those offices. You have. Government offices are not lush. This is not big law, as you know. And so it's not unusual to have tears in the carpet and scratches on the wall and even worse. That's right. He sits down and he's subjected to, I should say subjected, should participate voluntarily. In
drug testing?
Right.
Will he have to pee in a cup? I would wonder.
All of that sort of thing. You want to get a sense of everything that's going on in his life, medical history, including those kinds of things. All of that. Questioned about it and tested on it. Because, again, you want to capture who this person is. and all of that. Again, you've got to sit down. Every so often you get a defendant who says, I don't want to participate in that. That too then is known by the judge, and it can inure to your detriment, right? And all of that, the behavior, the failure to be contrite, the failure to acknowledge any of this, these statements he's making right now at this press conference this morning, can the judge take those in? You bet he can. And say, you know what? There's no remorse here. This is not a person who now understands a right to go to trial. I'm not going to punish him for that. But I am going to take into account the notion that he is not acknowledging anything. And a jury has now found beyond a reasonable doubt just the opposite. Can I impose a bit more of a sentence? You bet I can.
Jim, would you perceive convicted felon Donald Trump as a flight risk?
I think it's something for the judge to certainly be mindful of, just because he's got that option. The real answer is probably not. But again, the two issues are risk of flight, danger to the community. There's another category that you might think about. You know, what else can Donald Trump do out there in terms of just compromising our general status? That's a problem, too. The judge should be mindful of all that. And if he's got some concerns about it, he can call the parties in even before the sentencing to address some of that.
Well, that would put it before the RNC. I wonder if Trump will be in Milwaukee for the RNC. Jim Santelli, you better stick around. We got more questions for you, my friend. All of you, stick around. You're listening to what some describe as the greatest radio show ever. But again, yesterday, going to be tough to top.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, continuing with our pal James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Check it out. Jim, one quick question regarding, again, the sentencing of Donald Trump on July 11th. How much goes into the decision? How much is weighted to deterrence versus punishment in your judgment, sir?
I would wrap them all together, frankly, Dom. You know, deterrence, as we've always said, has these two parts. One is you want to deter the individual, that's specific deterrence. You want to make certain that Donald Trump himself, to the extent you can control this person, stops doing this. And so that's kind of the punishment part of it, right? You want to, if you do in fact impose a jail component of this, you're sending the message, knock it off, stop doing this. That's deterrence as to the specific person. And then you also want to generally deter, which is, hey, if there's somebody else out there, I realize not a lot of former presidents doing this, but other people who are engaging in similar kinds of things, that's the general deterrence. And all of that is wrapped up inside some aspects of punishment with a capital P. The Supreme Court, other courts in the land have said there's nothing wrong in the end, once you've been convicted beyond a reasonable doubt by a unanimous jury, by wrapping into your sentence a certain amount of simple punishment. What you have done is wrong. It's in violation of the basic norms and standards by which we live. You have contravened our basic standards of operation and the things we expect of every human being. And we are going to tell you and others who might do it, we're going to punish you for doing what you're doing. Courts have said there's nothing wrong with that. It is not, you know, taking your pound of flesh. It's not something biblical in that kind of nature, but it is appropriate. It's a possible and an appropriate reason for imposing sentence. You don't want to spend too much time on it again, but you do want to indicate that the society is not happy with you. And so we are responding in a way that is in kind with your criminal conduct now properly found.
Jim, the prosecutor has some say at this point, do they not? Don't they get to make a recommendation of sentencing? Could you see Alvin Bragg saying what, sir? What would be Prosecutor Santel's recommendation?
Right. I can't say about this prosecution. The judge listened to 3 hours of closing argument. Brilliant, with a capital B. Don't have to repeat all of that. But you can, in fact, talk more. You're no longer talking to a jury. Now you're kind of liberated to talk about the justice and rule of law kinds of things. What are the reasons why? And I think many of us are advocating that, you know, some jail time, it's not going to be 4 years. It's not even going to be 1 year, but maybe months. Maybe you advocate for that. And you talk about the reasons why under these circumstances, this is appropriate. You can talk about all of the nature of the offense conduct here, how this is in violation of New York law, but also what people expect. And again, as I said before, the lack of remorse. This is not somebody who's coming in and throwing himself in the mercy of the judge, right? He's coming in and he's defiant. You can talk about the disrespect that this defendant and arguably others in his realm have had for the very proceedings. You can talk about his violations of the gag order. Those are contempt findings. You can talk about all of those things and say, Judge, you wrap that all together. And for that reason, a simple finding of again, a judgment's already been found, but a determination that he should be put on probation, home arrest, those kinds of things, not sufficient to do what we talked about just a moment ago, which is deter him in the future and send a message to other people that if you engage in this kind of conduct, you may suffer the same consequences. Defense has an opportunity to present that at great length, as does defense counsel. And then, as I said, then you can, that doesn't have to, but Judge Mershon will look to the defendant and say, Mr. Trump, what would you like to say? And then we hold on, right? And it'll be interesting to see if he just lets him go or interrupts him when he engages, if he does, in another one of these tirades of the sort that we saw just hours ago.
Jim, so let's say Trump hangs himself, goes out there, way crosses, you know, attacks the judge, attacks his daughter, attacks the process and the whole judicial system's out of order. He's like Al Pacino up there giving testimony. Would he go immediately to jail from sentencing? Would there be a remand immediately? Do not Basco, do not collect $200.
It doesn't help your case by going down that burn down the courthouse kind of approach, does it? And so, again, the judge has got a determination to make. My own prediction, I think a prediction of most people, is that this judge, who's been very clear and strong but measured, is not going to put Donald Trump in prison, or he basically will stay whatever his sentence is right away. He will let the appellate process go. He could order him, in which case there would be almost immediate petition to the Court of Appeals to overturn that detention decision. But the judge could do that. Again, depending upon how strong the presentations are and his own feelings about what justice demands, could do it. Unlikely in this case. And so unlikely that Donald Trump will be in prison anytime during the campaign period here, but could be sentenced to a term of imprisonment, again, a few months. And that is the judgment then. That's the final judgment of the court. A finding of guilt, a sentence, and then it goes up to the Court of Appeals. That's very easily going to happen in just a few weeks from now.
Jim, last 60 seconds. On the other side of it, when the judge is considering a sentence, will he take into account any sort of civil strife, any repercussions that might come from the Trumpsters or the MAGAs that might, you know, want to do some harm or property damage or whatever the case may be? Does the judge consider that?
He can comment about it and say, you know what, the things that you're saying this morning, other things that you're saying other times, they've plainly caused this. If you incite people to engage in behavior that is contrary, again, upsets the norm, the safety and security of our community, you can take that into account too. All those kinds of things, because it's conduct of the defendant. The judge still has jurisdiction over him until the time he signs off on that judgment and it goes up to the Court of Appeals. All those things can be in the mix. Absolutely.
James Hentel, been too long, my friend. I know you've got social occasions later, dinner or something. And then you got to prep for the big show. Amicus, a law review, 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Network tomorrow morning. Jim, always great when you come around here, though. Appreciate it, my friend.
Always delightful, especially on a Friday afternoon when we've got some things to chat about. Looking forward to more of that down the road.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
More later. More Devils right now. Stick around.